With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Gamer Heroes. This is Thomas here at GGKC. I got Mike with me, and I got Josh with me.
Hello everyone.
Hi guys!
We are here to talk about the Game Awards.
Yes, the Game Awards were
last Thursday. There was all sorts of good stuff there. There's always so much to talk about with the Game Awards, hosted by Jeff Keighley. He's the guy, if you don't know, Jeff Keighley used to be halfway in charge of the Spike Awards, the Spike Game Awards that existed back when Spike TV existed. And
was he? I did not know that. Okay.
Yeah, as far as I understand, I'm going to feel like a real fool if this stuff's wrong, but this is like the osmotic knowledge I've gotten from the internet. But it's that he went and wanted to do his own thing, so he started from scratch.
Yeah, they kept acknowledging what he's created and what, you know, how that Game Awards is what he has created.
He is the creator. He's not like part of a team. Like he definitely brings people together, but that is his baby, not anyone else's. So anything that happens in that Game Award show is all intentional by him. And it's run through, it's had its own problems over the years. And, especially like the nature of gaming, when you have an award show like that, you have people that are getting up on stage who do not usually have.
Oh my gosh, I'm so glad you said that. Yeah, you could just tell. I mean, we'll get more details, but as gamers, you know, we're a lot of the stigma is, you know, a little more antisocial on the spectrum, right? Or don't know how to act in a public setting.
Well
right?
Gaming.
It seems like you can see that
nature.
Clearly. You can
well,
see
gaming
that
in its
clearly.
Nature is like a. It is a solo, in a lot of ways, it's a solo experience. Even when you're playing a multiplayer game, you are playing by yourself online with other people. And so you're still by yourself.
I'm more thinking of just like some of the creators, you know, they're nerds like us, they're creators and this Game Awards, I won't lie, it looked great. So I bet they were thinking, you know, it's an award show. For those who've followed it through the years, maybe probably could expect it, but they're probably very nervous because it was big. I was surprised at how big it was this year.
I mean, it's the difference between being in front of a camera where no one else is in the room. Yeah, you can see a number of how many viewers you have. Mm-hmm. There's a big difference between that and being in an auditorium with people that, you know, your mm-hmm. heroes, you know. Sonic Fox, I know Josh, we were talking before the show. I appreciate how excited you were to have seen Sonic Fox on there. Because, Mike, he was so nervous. This guy won esports player or won
esports player of the year.
Esports player of the year?
Yeah.
Because of his stream, mostly because of his streaming content. Uh-huh. You know, it's not like, oh, you were the,
well,
the best
player. I don't
know.
Player. I mean, he won Evo. I mean, he won Evo.
And he's sitting there like, but most of my audience is always behind the camera.
Right.
No, he literally said this, I don't play for you all. I just like beating people up.
He said, I don't play for you guys.
I just play to beat people. I'm glad people are entertained watching me. Like, it was great. I mean, I thought that way he came out, presented himself in his furry costume. If you know Sonic Fox, he has his hat or
his big
fox
old
helmet.
Bright blue fox.
Yeah,
helmet.
Ears.
The funny
tail.
Things is that people like that, like, obviously, you know, gamers are connected to antisocial people a lot. Mm-hmm. But in reality, like,
you
just
get
them
in
say
a,
stuff
get them
like
in a corner,
that.
They'll just sit
like,
talk.
You got to have some big, giant balls to say something like that, you know?
No, yeah, you can see that throughout the Game Awards. It's these people were nervous. Like, I won't lie, it was a huge spectacle.
It was endearing. He was so nervous.
Yeah. He kept saying he was so nervous.
You could just tell by the way he was speaking that he was like, absolutely a fish out of water, yeah. Which is funny because he won the award for being wildly popular. Yeah. You know, he is a streaming personality. Like, he has so many fans, but he's up there on stage and he's just like, hamina, hamina. I'm just so excited. And I really like seeing that. That's something that you don't see in non-gaming award shows. Even if a director who's behind the camera and not in front of it is doing that, well, they're in charge of a crew. Like, yeah. They are, I mean, you're basically
they're
picking,
still talking in
you're
front
good
of a
at
group
what you
of
do.
People all day long.
Yeah, yeah. They're in the business of dealing with people face-to-face, yeah. Very closely.
This is somebody where it's like you've been looking at a computer screen for days. Now go talk in front of 100,000 people.
Right.
Maybe not that many, but...
But that was a full auditorium and a huge, you know,
it was
a ton
of
people
tuned in. It was a big platform for him, and yeah. He also, and I didn't know this, he came out, he didn't come out, that's for sure, but he informed us that he was gay. And he made a shout
Wait,
out to
Wait, he
his,
came out?
He didn't come out, he
okay.
informed. So those who don't know, he even said, for those of you do and do not, I am gay, you know, and he wanted to make a shout out to the LGBTQ plus community. And it was great. He was so nervous. I imagine he didn't know what else to say. And he wanted to say it. And I bet that felt really good for him because he left smiling and happy. And I'm happy for him. And I did not know he was gay. I mean, I've watched him for a couple of years now just because how close we have been with the FG community, right? The fighting game community. And I've seen his name dropped. I've watched him win. I've watched him lose. I've seen a lot of his fights and I had no idea he was gay. I mean, it was really cool to see him use that platform. I don't know if he used that. You know, intentionally, or if he was just nervous, right? I really think he was nervous. He came in a full furry suit. You know what a furry is, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He came in with his Sonic Fox furry suit, and he's a big furry fan. It was cool to see. It was really cool.
Yeah, and, you know, like, clearly because he was so nervous, like, he had, like, probably an idea, kind of, sort of what he wanted to talk about, but... Something like that. When you get up in front of people, yeah. You may as well throw that thing away.
Yeah, you're like, okay.
It's like writing sheet notes on your hand, and then you, like, you know, wipe your sweaty
it.
Palms. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I do that. I do that all the time, like, at work. I'm like, okay, I have these five things I want to talk about. I'm going to hit topic one, and then we'll see where it goes from there.
Like, oh, my gosh. Dude, when we did our accessibility episode last time, it was like, I wrote out, you know, bullet points. I had all this stuff. And then by the time we got to it, I was like, man, I, like, overspoke, like I went overboard on a couple areas, and I still didn't even touch a couple things I wanted, you know. So that's just funny because I was just like, oh, I'm prepared.
Yep.
And then it's like, how long are we going? Oh, we got to wrap this up, you know. But speaking of that, like, I like that. Basically what he said, he's like, I'm black, I'm gay, you know, I am a minority, like, absolutely.
Yep.
And to be represented and liked, you know, and to be on, even to be on stage, to be recognized as the best esports player, that's huge. And like, I really liked that idea of, you know, he didn't quite say it like this, but the idea that when you're streaming, like when you're a personality like this, you're totally in control of who you portray yourself to be. You can be exactly who you want to be in other people's eyes because you're in total control of that stream, of everything that goes out. And I like that in gaming you can do that and completely make your own persona, because in a medium that is known for people who can be socially anxious or you know, maybe they just don't like people, maybe they like playing online with people, but they would rather stay at home and game, and I could definitely associate with that. I love that it's so accessible to people.
Well,
like, it just allows you to be whoever you want to be. And it also allows, like, recognition when you can see someone like him and, you know, it's like, hey, that person's like me and people love this person. Oh, I feel better. Like, maybe I should, you know, maybe I should be more proud of who I am. Like, if you're nervous about something.
Yeah. Well, how I feel, and this is going to get a little bit deep, is that as gamers, and it's not just gamers, you know, people who read, people who watch movies, they all enjoy a lot of stuff for the same kind of ideas. I think gamers probably understand it the best, the, like, role-playing aspect of life, right? Especially if you're somebody who literally role-plays, you know, like, take your life, just swipe it off the board, build a character. At the end of the day, you may think that character is, like, just a totally random, brand new character. But in reality, we're all building characters that at least have certain pockets of us in them, right?
That's very true.
Even if it's some crazy, out-of-the-world character, there's still one piece of you in that character, right? So, like, people like that, I feel like they're almost role-playing, but by the end, they realize that they're really just being who they want to be in the end anyway.
This segues into, I think it was... Arthur Morgan, what was the award for the best, it's not narrative, because that was Red Dead. It was the actual voice actor. Arthur Morgan is.
Oh.
What is his name?
I have to look that up, too.
Oh, we're looking it up here.
So. Red Dead won a ton of awards. And I actually, so, spoiler, I guess, or whatever.
Roger Clark.
God of War, Roger Clark.
Roger Clark. And he won the best performance.
Nice. Yeah. It was a really good performance.
It was.
I was afraid Red Dead was going to sweep it. I was very happy to hear that God of War won Game of the Year because, boy, boy, was I nervous that Red Dead, since it just came out, it's like, sure, is it a good game? Sure. But it's one of those things, like when a movie comes out right before an award show, it's just like, oh, what do you know? Everybody's really excited for this right now. It's going to sweep the whole thing. So I was happy that it did not. I was happy that Celeste got recognition. It won Best Independent Game. And I've told you guys that was my game of the year. Easy. It was just good to see. Red Dead definitely won a lot. But it was good to see a lot of recognition all over the place. In the Game Awards, if you tune in at the beginning, like 30 minutes leading up to the show, they like do a lightning round of like, here's this award and who won it. Here's this award and who won it. And there's no big ceremony to it, but at least these people getting recognition and,
Yeah, I there's some hit and miss there. I liked some of it. I thought some should make it on the big screen. Hopefully next year those will. Like Best RPG made it in the lightning round 15 minutes before the event even started.
Right.
I was like, wow, that didn't even make it on the main screen. But yeah, it was cool. Like literally, I was talking to Thomas, if you walked away... I watched it on YouTube, so I was able to rewind and stuff. And, I'm pretty sure almost everyone has the capability of doing that. But if you would have caught up and not noticed it, you would have missed 15 awards. They literally lightning rounded them, as Thomas said, in between the big world premieres and the big awards, they'll lightning round a bunch of awards. So there's at least...
There was not a good time. I was watching it live, and I was like, I need to, go to the bathroom. I'm not sure. I'm genuinely not sure when to get up and go because there's constantly a thing.
Jeff
Even
Keighley's
the commercials.
Said,
yeah, right? Jeff Keighley.
So he would, after a world premiere or, a presenter would there, they'd cut back to him like any award show, and he would talk, and then within that monologue, he'd either bring in some content creators or game developers, as well as launch another 5 awards. So, I don't know, it was a little hit and miss. Because here's what I think is, I'd like a little more notice. Again, you can rewatch it, rewind it, you can watch it on YouTube right now. But I'd like to be a little bit notice of what's coming up, right? Not just the big ones, but those little ones. Like I was surprised because when they announced the best RPG, it's in the beginning of the whole event. I had to go back. Like, when did they announce the best RPG? So
to preface my questions, everybody, I was first of all, we had a break-in at the office that I work at. At the beginning of the week, so that was the reason that I wasn't able to make it to Heroes Podcast. The
Screen Heroes
Awards. Yeah, the Screen Heroes Awards.
Yeah, well, you should have tried harder. All right.
Yeah, I wish. I was trying to freeze my credit accounts. But on top of that, I had to be in Baltimore over the weekend for a work thing. So, I am brand new to all of the Game Awards information. So, what won RPG of the year?
So, best role-playing game actually was Monster Hunter World. Shocker, but not really.
What were the options in the category?
The options were Dragon Quest XI, Ni No Kuni 2, Octopath Traveler, and one of my favorites, Pillars of Eternity 2. Wish it won, damn it. Because I had to play – I played a little bit of the game. I played the full first one. I loved Pillars of Eternity, what they did there. I love Obsidian as a company, so I really wish they won. But Monster Hunter World was just a rave for the first half of this year – or back half of this year.
So. Monster Hunter World – so I played a couple of the other Monster Hunter Worlds. I won't talk too much about it because I already talked a lot about Monster Hunter World earlier this year when it released. Like, it was – they did a fantastic job, I thought. Like – It was a good, fun game to play with friends and stuff. I am surprised that Ni No Kuni was on there. Not because Ni No Kuni is not a good game. Ni No Kuni is a fucking fantastic game. I'm just surprised that landed. Out of all of the RPGs in the year, I'm glad that I appreciate that they picked that one. Octopath Traveler.
We know your heartache's there, but you can say it with your...
That was on the board for best soundtrack, too.
Really? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was on the best. Yep, okay. Best soundtrack. Yep.
Great soundtrack. Game was beautiful.
And art direction.
That game, I love the art direction in that one. Yeah, it was.
The first few hours of that game were just... Oh, just so great. Just so, so great. And then... Oh my God, what did they do with all of the plot lines? Anyway, moving on from how shitty Octopath Traveler makes me feel now. Monster Hunter World, I feel like it was a great game. Best RPG? I guess maybe.
Yeah, now, when we got to talk about
You're exploring? It. Okay, so this came up in before the Screen Hero Awards. Which actually you guys should all go check out online in the Heroes Podcast Network. There's the Screen Heroes podcast, which covers movies, TV shows, all that good stuff. And at the end of the year, they all get together. We all get together and discuss our favorite blanks of the year and the fan votes. That's actually how I discovered the Heroes Podcast Network last year, was that award show. So that was a blast to do. What the hell was I going to say?
We were talking about...
Best RPG?
Yeah.
Oh, so we had to discuss, you know, what is an RPG and all this stuff, because so many games have so many RPG elements in them that, like, there are a ton of games that are RPGs and also other genres. But the Webster's Dictionary defines a role-playing game as
taking on the role of a character in a video game.
Which, in a well-fleshed-out world, could mean every... So you have a well-fleshed-out world where you can...
I was about to say something, and then Thomas shot me.
I had to get in front of it.
It is truth.
a well-developed world, and essentially a character that can make a decision. Kind of. But the most important thing is a world that is fleshed out. So... You know, these days, like
how
a JRPG.
Is that the big thing? I'm sorry. I understand the JRPGs, action RPGs, all of our RPGs. The traditional sense of an RPG to me, now, traditional sense, not saying that any of these games that we will discuss are not RPGs, but I think the traditional is a class-based game or
I always think of leveling up.
Leveling up and advancing either classes or a hero to a certain style. And I really think there's a huge portion of skills and class systems within an RPG. That's traditional to me. Now, again, everyone has their own.
Everything's just so fuzzy because even a game like Red Dead,
it's an RPG.
It has a fleshed out world. You're not like, you don't have a class or anything, of course, but you do level up skills, like stamina.
That's very good.
And there are plenty of role playing games. Well, I'm trying to think of examples, and I can't think of any like, off the top of my head.
One thing we can all agree on is that it's a very fuzzy topic.
It's extremely fuzzy because if you ask me. And we're just talking about role playing as role playing is the definition where you are playing a different role.
That could
literally be every single fucking game that you play. Because you're taking on the role of whatever
character. Low-hanging fruit, but like obviously that wouldn't apply to Tetris. You know, you'd play
as
you'd play a character in a world that is defined.
Yeah.
That's a very loose, broad definition, but RPG elements are just so common across the board now because we have so many complex systems in so many games that, like, saying it's an RPG is basically like describing a shade of a color.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not telling you what color it is, it's telling you what shade of color it is. So that stuff's tricky, and it can be useful to describe a game, but when you're defining something like best RPG... That's hard.
It's crazy, though. You say this 10 years ago, I bet Best RPG would be on the main screen of that show. But now, Best RPG made it barely into the show. It actually made it into the 15 minutes of the pre-show. You know, that's what's crazy. It's like, we can't use this term anymore like the way we've been using it, you know? And RPG has to be broken up. Your JRPGs, your action RPGs, you know. I mean, your turn-based, all those types of RPG styles. it's crazy. I just funny to see. You know, we've had our discussions and our arguments about what an RPG is. At the end of the day, almost all our games are RPGs. I mean, there will always be a fine line between these J's and actions. And what's next? What other RPG classifications are there? I mean, I think action and JRPGs are some of the biggest. Really, though, still an action RPG. You know what an action RPG is? Like, it's something where you're not, like, turn-based and slow. You actually make an action while you fight and interact with people. I mean, I don't know. It's funny to see where the term RPG is going and heading. It doesn't look like it's heading in a direction we used to see it going. You know, like I said, 10 years ago, best RPG would be on that main screen.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense to me because honestly, like, the kind of gamer that I am, I gravitate towards RPGs before anything else. Like, I can count on my hands, like, the number of games that I've played. Well, okay, that's not true.
When someone yells at me, what's your favorite RPG games? I start listening Final Fantasies, Dragon's Age. And in my mind, I know what they're asking for.
You're wrong, because it's Chrono Trigger.
Oh, it's Chrono Trigger. Great, great. Not Secret of Mana. I love Secret of Mana. That's a good one. See? But even those Secret of Mana, like the old school RPGs, that is, you're taking on a role with some classes and abilities. I mean, it's very hard to determine what is RPG now. I mean, maybe actually dying. That's why it's at the end. I don't know if they'll continue to have that category in these game shows. They may have to break it up.
So let's switch gears real quick, because we could talk about that all day, and probably we could talk about it again next week. But there were so many reveals. There were huge. There were so many world premieres.
What was your favorite? What was your favorite?
Actually, I'll tell you my favorite in a minute, because something that, well, I don't know if it was my favorite, but absolutely deserves recognition was the Stanley Parable. Dude, that's one of the only Steam games I've pretty much ever played, and I loved that game. And when I try to tell people what it is, it's really hard to describe. But if you've never heard of it, go watch the Game Awards reveal of it, because it is absolutely
true. Is it as hard to describe, as hard to understand what it is? Because I watched it as well, right?
Yeah.
But I still don't understand really what the game is.
Well, if you play the game, you won't either.
Well, okay.
But if you liked that trailer, if you liked the sense of humor that has, that's what that game has to offer. And it's nothing but keeping you on your toes and making you laugh forever. And they're in the – so it jokes, it's like, well, the biggest it starts and it's like, back in 2013 when the Stanley Parable was released, we received, you know, many awards or something. And it goes back to the old game awards of that year. And it's like, and the winner is The Last of Us. And The Last of Us. And, and it goes through and it's just like, oh, geez, these poor guys. But they're like, we realized our biggest problem, we hadn't released on consoles. And I'm thinking like, yeah, actually, yeah, it's one of the only PC games, like PC-only games I've ever played in the past decade. And I wanted to play it again. I would have bought it again on PS4. So this isn't a remaster. This is another game. And also it's coming to PC. So it's on everything now. I have no idea what the release date is. But that game just has such a great sense of humor, fourth wall breaking kind of thing.
Was this game the one that had the achievement where if you didn't play it for five years,
yes,
then you would get the achievement?
Yep. Yeah.
No way.
Yeah,
for real.
On Steam, if you own the game and you hadn't paid it for, or you haven't played it for 5 years, you would get the Steam achievement for not playing it for 5 years.
Okay.
Dude, then it's been 5 years. I wonder if they were like, well, we're definitely going to make another one of these, but we're going to wait 5 years. And this achievement's going
to
matter.
All right, we have a lot of wars to get to, but what the heck is this game about?
You start the game. Okay, let me describe what the old game was. You start, and there's a narrator reading what you're doing, right? It's like, Stanley walked out of his room. So then you're like, I guess I'm going to walk out of the room. So you do. And he's like, you walked down the hallway, but no one was around. Where was everyone? And you keep going. And then you get to a room with two doors in it, and you look, and the narrator says, Stanley approached two doors. He walked through the left one. And now you have the decision, are you going to walk through the left one or are you going to walk through the right one? And whatever choice you make, the narrator will respond to it. And he will just continue. The narrator knows he's a narrator, and he knows that you as the player can hear him, and also you can just do whatever you want. And so it takes all of that. It breaks the fourth wall, rolls it into a bundle, and is like, there are so many paths where you can go and do different things, and they are wildly different from each other. Just so crazy where I kept discovering new endings and I was constantly laughing out loud where I was just like, I can't believe this is real. Or just things where you wouldn't think you would find the limitations of what video games do. You know, we've played enough games. You're like, oh, probably there's an invisible wall here. Oh, there wasn't. Oh, I fell to my death. And the narrator's like, Stanley thought there was an invisible wall. There wasn't. And it's just like, shit, this game, it's for real. Like, he knew exactly why I walked off that cliff. I didn't think it would let me. But I'm so excited for that. It's probably going to be a cheap game. So I bet it's going to be like $15 when it comes out. You know, don't quote me on that. But I loved that game. Easily one of the funniest games I've ever played. So I'm excited for that to come out. Y'all should try it. If you don't, I'm going to put the controller in your hand.
I'm just getting it so I get that achievement.
Yeah.
Man, that's like the easiest achievement ever.
Well, you're going to have to wait.
Wait, it came out 5 years ago. Do you either of you have that achievement?
I lost my Steam account. I'd have to look up my old Steam info for an email I don't have just so I could get that achievement.
I'm totally going to buy it now. Sounds fun. I never knew what it was, so it was like, okay. I mean, it was always rated really high in Steam. It's just when you're looking at Steam, you're so saturated with games.
Man. This is a topic for another discussion. But darn,
well, that's why the Epic Games Store. That's why they opened up with like, Epic? Remember when we won all those awards? And then it was just like.
Well, I mean, you just said hit the nail on the head with the store of Steam, and now Epic's combating that with their own store, and they come up with their own model to give more money back to the developer. So again, I think that's awesome. But yeah, Steam, I'm lost in. Every time I open it, I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah, I always go to, like, if I'm logged into Steam, I go directly to where it says recommended games for you, because that's all the time I have to, like, look through all of the fucking games.
It's like Netflix. I fucking hate Netflix because I just look at it, oh, that looks good. Wait, let's go another 30 pages down. Well, that looks good. Let's just keep
I opened
going.
Up Netflix for the first time in a long time yesterday, and I was like, oh, there's a ton of stuff on here. It shouldn't be very hard to find something. And I spent like 20 minutes. I'm like, where is everything? Like, I don't recognize anything, and I'm just confused, and I don't even know if I want to watch anything anymore. That felt weird.
Yeah, and even when you find something, it's like, oh, man, well, we spent an hour looking around. I guess it's time for bed.
Yeah, right. Now I'm tired. That's where they get you.
Well, Josh, let's dial it back. You asked me what my favorite reveal was. I think my favorite reveal was besides Outer Worlds, Outer Limits, Borderlands, whatever, they're all synonyms, was
the next
Far
Cry. Apocalyptic game. Oh,
yeah,
Far Cry.
It was Far Cry, yes. Which is another post-apocalyptic.
New Dawn, it is.
Okay, so hold on. I got to say this. Spoiler, because this actually is a spoiler for Far Cry 5, and they announced the game by spoiling the end of Far Cry 5.
Yep.
So if you don't want to hear what happens at the end of Far Cry 5,
turn us off now.
Skip ahead like 20 seconds. So apparently at the end of Far Cry 5,
they drop bombs.
They drop nukes on everything, apparently. So in this game, it straight up picks up 17 years later after the bombs have dropped, and here you are.
Oh my God, we're going to have a Far Cry Fallout game.
Yeah,
you're right. We are, but it looks good.
So it's post-apocalyptic, really, but really same good. With that Outer Worlds game. It was bright and flashy, and I loved it. This is the first time I've been excited for a Far Cry game.
I was excited for 5. I played the beginning of 5. Actually, I played about 20, 30 hours into 5. Not far, not going to see much of the content at all, but I liked it. Far Cry kind of happens. But I like the story.
Far Cry is funny because you can say, I played 20 or 30 hours of it.
And you're not very far. Right. It's a great game. Don't get me wrong. I had very fun. The times I was – the 30 hours I played it, it was fun. But you get to see, as Thomas said, 17 years after they dropped bombs on Montana – and you get the coolest thing that it opens up is this bright world. The announcer, the developer, who announced it? The developer, yeah. And they're just raining pink flowers, like pink and purple flowers on
them. It's so bright.
And you see this deer with pink antlers. Like, you got to think of the mutations that happen, right? So it's in the perspective of a kid. So they were only children when the bombs were dropped 17 years ago. Now they're adults. Well, that's at least the narrative of it was. And now it's... They said that it all will be over, but it's just beginning for us. And you see this world bright and pink and purple, and animals have purple and pink tints where they shouldn't, and mutations. I was like, this is really cool. And I always liked Far Cry games. I haven't finished them all. I've only finished Far Cry 1, 2, and 3. So 4 and 5, you know, I never got to get finished. But if they keep going the way they are, I mean, I love it. I'm excited to see where this goes. It's called Far Cry New Dawn.
It's new, and it looked... it just felt really fresh. Like, I've seen post-apocalyptic things. I've seen the goofy, like, almost irreverent stuff of, like, Borderlands. I've seen all that stuff before. And then we've seen Far Cry games where it's like, oh, shit, it's the no-mercy villain. And we've seen that. But this all felt good. And I do have to say I appreciated that the villains, the enemies in this are these two black women.
They look sisters. Like twins. I think they're – are they twins?
They look like twins. Yeah. They're definitely sisters.
So, yeah, definitely sisters. Are they – are you? Do you play as them, or are they the villains?
They absolutely. Oh, you know, I guess I hadn't thought of it.
I thought they were villains, but the narrative was in their mind, so it could be.
Oh, but you can't be that evil.
That's what I said myself.
They are evil.
They were really evil. These sisters were just evil, like just destroying people.
I mean,
taking
there's
over
a
these
cut
towns.
Where the person she was basically. They were like, if we can't take, you know, you have this fort, you've built up all this stuff, and. Now we're here, and if we can't take it, we're going to break it. And then the evil, the no mercy sister, like,
I try to notice,
does mean,
I mean,
things.
They were two black women, sisters, and I try to notice the skin color of you during the first person portion of it. I noticed some black skin, so I was like, they are going to be your character you play. I don't know. It would be awesome.
Because there's only two black people in the world.
Well, okay, now you're getting too crazy.
I wonder if they would do a I wonder if they would make allow you to customize your character, but that would be new for Far Cry, because I think you usually play as a protagonist, like a defined character.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I think we're jumping into, like, you know, look at Red Dead. I mean, he is the protagonist. They are a band of thieves, though. They might dabble in the antagonist being the protagonist, right? Like, why wouldn't you? It's something new. I also don't think this Far Cry New Dawn, like, it is a new game. This is the first that I've seen where it's actually a continuation of the Far Cry, right?
Yeah.
So is it just an in-between game?
Which
is
unique because
it
is like a sequel, I guess.
Yeah,
but
it is.
It's so different than the last game. And so it's cool that they have a premise that can so dynamically change the setting, but still feels so good. Like, I wouldn't have to play Fallout 5 to absolutely appreciate this game.
Mm-hmm. Far Cry 5.
Far Cry 5. What did I say?
Fallout.
Oh, well, yeah.
We should have Fallout 5.
I don't know. I feel like I could get down with a game that, like, even if you weren't okay. So what if you weren't forced to play as the villain for the whole game? But there
I
were certain cutscenes or certain levels where you played as the villain, and then it like forced you to like get into
the
mind of the villain.
Just the gameplay showed me,
and then,
it felt
like
you were going to be the villain.
That would really it feel crazy by the end of the game when you're like taking care of the villain, but the villain is also a character that you have played over certain levels.
Okay, so this kind of sounds like Grand Theft Auto with Trevor.
Yeah, it does actually.
He is a villain. Like, that guy is bad news.
Yep.
But you play as him, you know.
So you can't shoot it down yet.
You're right.
There might be notes out there saying, no, you're not. There's just the antagonist.
But that's an interesting thought, and I'd definitely be interested in
seeing
someone
do that. I mean, now that you bring
it
up, they better do it that way.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, think about how much that would bring the story together for you at the end.
Well, you also know that the leader, I can't remember his name, in the limited amount of game time I played in Far Cry 5, he's the cult leader, the preacher, I think it's him. There's a silhouette of a guy who said,
there's somebody at the end where clearly I was supposed to know who that was.
It's got to be him. I didn't finish it, so I don't know if he died at the end of the Far Cry 5. So those of you who had played, you could probably educate us. But that was him. He was there.
That would make sense to me.
I think
because clearly I was supposed to know. They had like a post credits kind of thing.
And he was a silhouette of guys. Like,
wait, is this from 5?
Yeah. So Far Cry 5. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, no. He is a character from 5, but the post credits scene was the trailer at Game Awards.
Yes.
So it was like you watch all this stuff, and then at the very end, like you think it's the end, and then it comes back up, and this character shows up and says a one-liner.
Man, I don't want to get all political, but I hope to God that doesn't happen.
I'm really excited for that, and I'm excited that I've never been excited for a Far Cry game before. I played 3, enjoyed it, but I only played a little bit. That was actually the same time that I played Stanley Parable. I had access to a computer at that time, but then when I no longer had access to it, I just never finished the game. So I'm glad that feels so fresh. That was nice. And that was one of two trailers that had a slow motion video of a dog sitting in a passenger seat of a car flying through the air.
Oh, my God.
That's right.
So
it was action. Like, this car, they're getting shot up. And yeah, you're right. There was a car with a dog in it.
So from now on, if people like talk about the video game awards, I don't want them to use their kick-ass new logo. I think it's new. It's new to me. I want them to have a picture, one of those pictures of the dogs flying with their tongues flopping in the air. That, to me, that's the or the TGA's 2018.
Yeah, it's like perfect happiness.
Yeah. All right, we're back. Let's talk about something that was crazy, I thought, at the beginning of the award show. Jeff Keighley's up there and he says, you know, something along the lines of, hey, you know, we want to welcome our friends to the stage in this momentous, you know, moment. Hey, well, that's redundant. he's like, we welcome to the stage Phil Spencer, Reggie Fils-Aimé, and the CEO of Sony, who Thomas can never remember the name of. Those were his exact words. And so on stage come Sony, Microsoft, and Nintendo, the three figureheads of the biggest companies in gaming.
And then the bald ring leader comes out and he's like, celebrity deathmatch.
Yes! Returns to MTV.
They went up there and they just had a, I don't know, they were up there for 2 minutes and they just spoke on what it means to be a community and what, you know, gaming can offer and that is unique to gaming and how it brings people together and all this stuff.
Did everyone in the audience just say cross-platform?
They were thinking it. I was certainly thinking it.
You didn't watch. They were chanting him. They're like, cross-platform.
In all seriousness.
They're like, Sony, break.
Yeah. I really did think when I was watching it, I was like, this is amazing. I can't believe they're on stage. And then I went one step further and I thought, I bet they're going to announce cross-play, like for real right now. Because holy cow, I can't even believe they're on stage together. Mm. I've never seen this ever
before. It is pretty amazing.
They've been at the same events forever, but I've never seen them all right there on stage. And that was great. That was just a great moment. And so that was wonderful. I love them speaking about community. After talking about accessibility last week, you know, a lot of the research I did on that was from stuff that Jeff Keighley had put together. That E3 panel that I had been recommended was put together by him. And you know, so he loves community. He loves accessibility. I love all that stuff. Jeff Keighley put in fucking work to do the stuff that he does. And when Phil Spencer went back up later during the show to talk to Jeff Keighley and I assume announce some Microsoft thing that I can't remember right now, he had mentioned, you know, he gave Jeff his respects. He was like, you were the reason that this happened. Like, you came up with the idea. You really pushed for it. And you made it happen, and that is so important to have people like you, like Jeff, out there making moves like this because somebody just wanted it hard enough and made it happen. And seeing like what Jeff Keighley wants and then watching that reality become – or you know that idea become reality, I love that. I love watching him figure out what he wants and then nailing it.
Let me say this. I think that – it's 2018. Well, we hear that every year, right? It's 2016.
Well,
it's 2016.
I've only heard people say it's 2018 this year, but I do know what you're saying.
It's 2018, and this is probably the most attached and most involved year that I've been with gaming. Actually, it's funny. I'm 30 years old, and I haven't been
this
more
year
attached.
Is?
I would say so. I mean, I'm here sitting with you guys talking about gaming.
That's true.
I own and part owner of a gaming collaboration company. And I think that, you know, seeing an award show like this really, really meant a lot to me. And it's really cool to see where these can go. I really loved how the breakaways and commercial breaks, et cetera, would bring in these, impact content creators, these global impact players, I believe that they called it. I can't remember what they called it, but global impact, and just saw how everyone is bringing gaming. And there was one where the guy is from Africa and he created a game and the mobile game itself was literally in the African country he was in. And I can't remember it, but you guys can look it up. And he created a mobile game. His mother Satan saved for 3 years to get him a computer. And once he got the computer, it was a turning point in his life. And he created and coded, started learning coding himself and created a mobile gaming where literally he acknowledges that he's brought up and his country's brought up in war. He built a game about stop dropping bombs. Like, you know, he stops dropping bombs. The initial part of this is you stop the bombs being dropped on your country and you progress it from there. And I just thought, this is crazy. This is crazy. But again, it's 2018.
My God, that is touching.
It is so touching. Like, there's so
that
many things happening
really
right now.
Sad.
You've got to watch it. I wish I had his name, and next time I'll be more prepared. But you can go watch it, and it's just things like that really kind of moved me. It's like someone.
I love that, dude. I actually missed that. I don't know how I missed that.
How did you miss this? Oh my goodness.
I genuinely don't know how I missed it.
There were so many of those. Maybe because I watched it on a different platform, right? I didn't watch it on cable.
No, no. Well, I definitely missed stuff at the very beginning.
Okay.
In the first like 20 minutes of the pre-show, because the show starts at, you know, 8 o'clock or whatever. But the pre-show starts at 7:30. And so I definitely missed like 15-ish minutes of the pre-show. But I also, when you were telling me something earlier, I was like, wait, what? How did I miss that?
There's a lot of things I missed too.
Well, we said it earlier. There's just a lot going on. If you look away for a minute, you missed something. Yep. The Game Awards have had Games for Impact, which is a category I love that is – it spotlights games that are really looking to make a positive difference. And so Celeste won that one this year. So the Celeste is all about anxiety and depression and facing your fears and all this stuff. And, you know, overcoming a challenge, you're literally climbing Celeste Mountain, right?
The developers talked about it. If you're one of the actual players that were dealing with mental illness, this is for you. That's what they said.
Or no, they said that they said if this helped you overcome depression, then you're capable of so much more.
But they also said
it was like,
if Celeste did?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Dude, that game's great.
Game is made for depression, mental illness.
It is.
That's the whole story is your character climbs this mountain and it does weird stuff. It makes you face your fears. Wow. And so you fight like you are up against this mirror of yourself, but it's all the things that that Madeline doesn't like about herself. So it's her fear and it's her depression and it's her anxiety. And throughout the game, it fleshes out really what that is. And I guess it's not a spoiler, but turns out you climb the mountain. Like the point, you're trying to climb the mountain and your like mirror self is trying to convince you that, you know, you try stuff like this all the time, but you're just going to give up. You're not going to fall through because you never do. And your character like has ups and downs.
There was a lot of real
feels
in this
game. Yeah, this sounds like a touching fucking
really,
game.
It was.
That game is all over the place. And it just does such a great job of representing what that stuff actually is, like what anxiety really is and what depression really is. Because for people who haven't experienced it, it can be so difficult to wrap your mind around.
Which is nobody.
But no, that's really not true because, I mean, I know a bunch of people, even in my own family, like I have a family history of depression and I also have other people in my family who think it's made up, you know. And so it's the people like that that need to see what this is saying because it's not in your face with something like that. Like the way that you win someone over is by not letting them realize that you're winning them over. Like, teach them in a way that they don't realize they're being taught, because if they realize they're being taught,
they're going to get defensive.
You're going to get defensive. Yeah. They're going to have an idea of what their opinion already is. But if you don't make it clear that you're actually teaching someone, that's why educational video games are best when they're games first and educational second. Because if you are a kid and you go into a game and it's obviously supposed to teach you something,
that's true. It's like,
you're not going to be as receptive
to it. It's like when you talk about anybody where you're like, no, make them think they had the idea.
Yes.
You know?
That really is exactly what that is.
Yeah.
Where you'll see something play out in this game and you'll be like, wow, that's crazy. And then later on it will be like, you know, it'll very cleverly be like, oh, it was actually this the whole time. You'll be like, wow, I guess I never thought of it that way. And that game just does a lot of really great things. It was made by a team of like 6 people.
Yeah, I never played it, but I got to read a bunch about it and see really the impact of it just over social media.
Dude,
and so
game
many people,
of the year. Yeah. Seriously, I
people are very excited.
I understand why you say that now. Like I've only seen it like I saw it in the like the Donkey videos and like
he has a Donkey video for
yeah.
it. Oh, I bet it's good.
Oh, it is. Oh, it is good.
Well, no, I do like Donkey
stuff. He loves it. Like he's all for it. And the gameplay that I saw looked really interesting, but honestly, I'm not that great with like with Twitch movements, you know.
So
like,
actually,
let me
back this up for you.
I remember we had an episode where you talked about where like you could make
you
it
do
easier
an assist
on
mode.
Yourself.
I actually wanted to get to this on the accessibility episode because there are a lot of types of accessibility options that I mentioned last time. But what I did mention is in Celeste, it has the assist mode that isn't actually making the game accessible for disabled gamers through like subtitles and all the things that I mentioned last time. It's a unique kind of accessibility where it's just the difficulty. But, you know, there's so much to enjoy to that game that if you're stuck on a spot and that would be the reason that you set down the game and never played again, man, that sucks. Mm-hmm. That would suck. Like, if I was here telling you this game was great, but then you picked it up and died 10 times in a row on the same screen, which will happen. That absolutely will happen. if you're having a bad time, well, that stinks. You could miss out on this whole game. But assist mode, you can turn it on and you can make yourself actually unkillable. So, like, if you fall on the spikes, it's still okay. You can give yourself unlimited jumps in the air. I think that you can slow down time, I think. But there's so many options where it's like, look, we just want you to enjoy the game and climb this mountain. Like, the point is that we want you to succeed. If you want the challenge, you got it.
Don't you want to know how many votes Celeste got for Game of the Year?
Hold on.
I would like to know.
Hold on. Before you say the name of the votes, I just want to say, when I originally heard what you were talking about this game, like where you could turn that mode on where you're like, I need more jumps or whatever, I was like, well, but then why would I want to play it? Because it should be difficult, you know, or it should.
Has no difficulty, then what am I doing?
This is the first time that I heard that it has like that deeper meaning and it actually has like a really, I don't know, interesting story to it. And now I'm like, okay, I do want to play that game because I think I wouldn't feel as bad about it if I have a level where I can't get past it. Like,
oh,
fine,
sure.
Get me through
fine.
It.
Were some puzzles where even I was like, I actually did have to set it down. I was like, I don't want to do the assist mode because I know I can beat this, but I'm going to have to come back to it.
I think you guys just hit it both right there. That's why I want to play it now. I have not played it. I've only seen it. And after them talking about it and now understanding the true meaning behind it, I was like, why did I not play this game? I mean, graphically, very different, you know?
I never played a game like that. Like, it's a platformer, and it can be pretty hardcore sometimes. You know, a lot of people, when they look at a modern indie platformer, they looked at, like, Super Meat Boy. Well, Super Meat Boy was highly praised for its gameplay, for its soundtrack, for a lot of the same reasons Celeste is highly acclaimed. But I never liked Super Meat Boy. I played, like, 4 or 5 hours of that game, and I was like, I see why other people like it. I don't like these kinds of games.
That's literally what I described it to John as, like, in a previous podcast. He was like, I know what it's less. I'm like, it's kind of like Super Meat Boy, where it's, like, just really hard, like, jumping puzzles.
Right. and this is the first platformer of its kind that has really sunk its teeth into me, and boy, did it. I mean, the visuals are great. The narrative is great. The gameplay feels so good. Anytime I die in that game, like, anytime I mess up, I definitely feel like it was my fault. Like, I see why it happened that way, and I get it. I never feel cheated. The controls feel fantastic. I never felt like stuff was out of my control where I was like, ah!
Did you finish the game?
Oh, yeah. And actually, I'm still working on... So I finished the game, the proper story mode. As you go through these levels, there are lots of hidden areas. You can collect all these strawberries. And there are these B-side tapes, which I told you the soundtrack is fantastic. Probably my favorite of 2018 game soundtrack. Actually, there's no probably. It's definitely that. But you can find these B-side tapes where a lot like Fez. Fez had a lot of B-side. It had 3 different B-side albums. They were F-E-Z. And they had a bunch of Disaster Piece made that album, that soundtrack. And he had a bunch of other people come in and remix his songs. And some of them are totally unlike the original song, but you can hear the original song in there. Well, Celeste did the same thing. They have a whole B-side album that, you know, each track for each level has been remixed, and they put the remix in the hard mode. So you find these hidden B-side cassette tapes, and once you go back to the main menu, you can play the B-side, and there are no collectibles in it, which is a good thing, but it's a hard mode, and boy, is it hard! Like, when you beat those puzzles, wow, like, you fucking did it. Like, I felt, I've only completed the first area, and I've worked on the second one, and it took me a long time, but it felt so good when I was able to nail those puzzles, because they put so much into it.
That's awesome. No, I mean, Celeste, it's a game that I recommend you all trying. I'm going to have to go get it myself and talk.
What were the votes at?
the votes at? Oh, I'm glad I saw that you said that. I don't have that number. I don't think. I don't. Think,
it was. It was
I don't
actually
think they share that with anyone, right?
It was a real like. I wish. Don't you wish?
I, really, like, yes. I wish. I really wish. So I would like to kind of hit up a lightning round here. It really is just a lightning round to say your guys' comments, but I want to run through these awards. I want to say some things we haven't talked about, and give your literally one sentence thought. Mike, for someone who hasn't seen it, you're going to hear this for the first time. And Thomas.
I'll go through a couple of reveals and I'll do a very quick lightning round. I promise I'll be quick.
All right, here's what we're going to do. So we already talked about the best esports player of the year. That is Sonic Fox. Very awesome. Very cool guy. I really loved his energy. Best esports game, Overwatch. I guess.
I was surprised that League didn't win that.
I could see Overwatch winning. No, League and Dota are old.
What were the options?
CSGO. My favorite. Dota 2, Fortnite, Overwatch, League of Legends.
Yeah, because you can see Fortnite up there, but there's a big question on what is an esport.
I feel like Overwatch has to win just because it's the most accessible.
Yeah, most accessible, and, well, Fortnite's competing with that.
I'm
it's
sorry.
It's free to play.
You said Fortnite, and I didn't even hear
so
it.
You mean Fortnite,
you said Fortnite, and it went through one ear out the other.
It's free.
Like,
I think all platforms. I think Fortnite and Overwatch are contenders. Overwatch is accessible, but not as accessible as Fortnite. But like I said, there's a question of what is an esport, and like definitely Fortnite is competitive, but there are some questions there, and I think that's what makes those two really compete, because they're both the best at two different things.
Yeah, I mean, I understand. I still think some of the better. I'm more attracted to big plays, and to me, a play in DOTA League of Legends, and I'm a MOBA fan, are not as exciting as something in a shooter like CSGO. CSGO has tactical, like, plays that you would not see. Some guy taking on five guys at once, flashbang, smoke bomb, coming out of smoke with a pistol and headshot five people with a kill. That is intense. And if you see the CSGO tournaments, I don't know. That's my esports game of the year, but Overwatch deserves it. Content creator, streamer of the year, Ninja. We all
surprising no one.
Right? Lupo and Pokimane. Pokimane, I've been watching. You know, she's cute. She's hot. She plays some cool games. Lupo, probably the next person. Myth and Wilrix, I've not watched.
I don't even know anybody on that list except Ninja.
Best
but
multiplayer game? Fortnite. Okay, we saw that coming.
Wait, best what?
Multiplayer game. Do you want to? I know that's a very.
I want to hear the rest
of
them.
Call of Duty, Black Ops, Destiny 2, which weird it's in there. Monster Hunter.
Okay.
Truly understanding the party aspect of it, but I feel like why would Overwatch be in this? Like another one, I think Overwatch would be overdue Destiny. I don't understand.
Was that it?
That's
a whole list?
That's a whole list. Oh, hold on. Okay. So best sports racing game, Forza. We have best strategy game, Into the Breach. Never played.
Oh, I definitely want to play that game.
I want to play that too. From the Faster Than Light guys.
FTL?
Yeah. Yeah, I want to play it a lot.
You guys should both go look up the Giant Bomb quick look of that game. That's what sold me.
Mm. Best family game. I'm sorry. I am all about Super Mario Party, but Overcooked 2, I've only heard millions of good things about
it. Okay, so let me tell you how fucking good Overcooked. No, we don't have time. I'm sorry. It's a fantastic game.
I only hear that. I told my wife, because she loves cooking, I was like, Wendy, you want to get back into some games? Because she hasn't been playing much lately. I got to really figure out what's going to get her. Maybe this is it.
I tell you what, how about next week? We think about it. We're going to the holiday season. We've already kind of been in the holiday season. But what if we go into it and we offer up some of these family games that you can actually take home to your family holiday party and people will actually like.
I'm bringing my Switch to my family of 30s Halloween party, actually. It's just for Super Mario Party.
Yeah, I brought sports friends. Out to my last year's. Dude, people loved it.
Best fighting game, Dragon Ball FighterZ. Yes, it's had a huge impact.
Favorite one to watch.
It is fun. I'm still a Soul Calibur 6 fan. I will be competing, guys.
Soul Calibur 6. I guess
it came out before the time.
That's not enough time.
It is. It is not enough. They haven't had multiple players release or characters released. Street Fighter Arcade was on there. I'm surprised that lost, but I'm not, because it's been out for over 2 years and they're like, it's the last edition of this version of Street Fighter.
I'm not a big like fighting game player, but when it comes to watching, I like watching Dragon Ball FighterZ just because it feels like I'm watching the TV show.
You're right. I'm not even calling it cel shaded. It's truly show animation, right?
Yeah,
now. You can't call that cel shaded. You can't That is truly cartoon animation.
Yeah, it's an anime fighter.
Yeah,
It truly is. Best role-playing game, Monster Hunter 1. We know that.
Hey, I want to say, I think the reason we talked about this during the Screen Hero Awards, my favorite thing about Dragon Ball Z, I love watching it, but also I love how accessible it is where I'm bad at combos and spending time. I like that if I, Matt, you know, you do a heavy combo if you hit the heavy button three times. And I like that because it made me feel good. Even when I lost, I felt good.
Yeah, you felt like a cool character.
Yeah. So,
like, you still did something.
You will love this one, and I'm so mad I don't have it. I don't know if you got it. Best action game. Guess who won?
Who?
Take a wild guess. Just a wild guess. Action.
This is a game you liked.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
Dead Cells.
Dead Cells?
Beat out Call of Duty, Destiny, Far Cry 5.
It wasn't even on my radar.
And Mega Man.
Really?
It beat out the new Mega Man.
Didn't you play Dead Cells?
So, okay. So, John has been talking about Dead Cells forever.
Did you not get it?
Oh, I did. Oh, I did.
But that was not on your radar for, like, an
No. I have put in, I don't even know, 20-plus hours into Dead Cells since I've got it. That game is so fucking
Motion
fun.
Twin. Watch them. They are the creators. I think we should be watching. They have a great game. Best VR AR game. Sorry, not going to keep it. I can't believe Pokemon Go is done on here, but I guess that came out last. Oh, it just doesn't make sense. Astrobot. Never heard of it. I saw it. Never heard of it.
Beat Saber's on that list. Beat Saber's pretty cool.
Oh, Beat Saber. Yeah, why not? Yeah, right? That's awesome.
No, I don't know if it deserved to win that category. I mean, I don't know everything
Best
else,
mobile
but
game.
Cool.
Florence. I looked it up. Looked a little creepy. It looks like you walk through a relationship on your mobile phone. Not my
that
thing.
Sounds terrible.
It does. It beat out
that's
Fortnite.
How you walk through every
it beat out Fortnite, PUBG Mobile, Reigns, and Dota County.
If you beat out PUBG Mobile,
hey, wow, I actually
congratulations.
I have PUBG Mobile on this phone, and I win a lot. I think it's just bots I'm beating, but I win a lot. We know that Best Independent Game went to Celeste. Games for Impact.
Wait, hold on.
Celeste.
What else is on the independent list?
Okay, independent list. Dead Cells.
Hey, yeah,
Into the Breach. Return of the Obra Dinn. Saw this. Looks great. Never played it. The Messenger.
Those are all great games.
I don't know the last two.
The Messenger.
I never played Return of Obra Dinn.
I haven't even touched them, but I've only heard wonderful things, like, across the board.
It's just, like, this is a list of games I wish I had time to play.
Man, I fucking love indie games. I'm so glad. Every single thing on that list.
Best performance? This is my favorite. All right. Gosh, I have a lot to edit here, guys. Roger Clark. So when he walked up there, I could not tell if he was an Arthur Morgan or if he was just being himself. And I want to say he naturally talks like Arthur Morgan.
Well, a lot of times they'll model a character after the voice actor. They will see the voice actor and say, you're perfect.
Roger Clark. He walked up there, not the person I thought. I think he's even foreign. When I mean foreign, I'm from the U.S., so he has a foreign accent.
No way.
But I could be wrong. And this man just has the most awesome voice ever. Like, it's so crazy. He talked about when he got on stage. You know, I had to walk in the door, and my wife would tell me, put Arthur down. Because I was always in character. So I don't know if that's his natural voice
or not.
Yeah,
I like that he said that. Yeah. That's funny.
Best audio design, Red Dead Redemption 2. I saw this. The two guys that walked up there talked about the most sad and moving music ever.
I forget the name guy who's speaking. Yeah,
sad.
I thought it was funny that the note he left it on. It's funny what people say when they clearly are flustered. It was funny that the last thing he said before he got off stage was like, it's great to be able to create something so sad.
Yeah.
It was like, huh, what a weird thing to leave that on.
Yeah.
But it's funny what stuck with him, you know. But I will say, the other guy who was on stage with him was Woody Jackson.
Woody Jackson right here.
Yeah, who is one of two. I know in the original Red Dead, it was him and Billy Elm that made most of the songs. That's some great music,
so,
man.
So that goes into, so best audio designs, more than just music, that was Red Dead. Best score, Red Dead. Jackson himself, Woody Jackson.
Octopath was on there, Celeste was on there, something else.
I still can't believe Octopath was even like a runner.
Octopath
up
is a good game.
About five categories.
Was it a good game or was it good for the first 3 hours? God damn it!
That's all the critics ever played.
Best narrative, we said it, Red Dead Redemption 2. I really love it too.
It was awesome. Okay, hold on. I know you're flying through this.
Categories, Detroit, I heard, was one that people really enjoyed and wanted to see win. Was Detroit Become Human? Now, I never got to play the game. I imagine that narrative is intense because of the situations you're put in.
But yeah,
because
the whole game is narrative. That's
situation.
The game.
Yeah, it is. So
making decisions.
Didn't win. Red Dead won.
Spider-Man and God of War were both on there, too. So Red Dead won. Even though I haven't played any of God of War, man, that has a great narrative, and mm-hmm. I, even as good as Red Dead is, I really thought God of War was going to take that.
So, kind of the last three we have here, done with the lightning round. I think someone has one for our releases, though. We got to make this fast, but we have best game direction, God of War. Best ongoing game, Fortnite. Figured there was Destiny 2, No Man's Sky, Overwatch, and Rainbow Six Siege. Sure, Fortnite wins. I can't argue that.
I think they deserve
it. Game of the Year, Assassin's Creed, Celeste. I'm going to have to play the
game. Wait, these are nominees. I thought
Assassin's
Creed did not win.
You said that. I was like, what?
Game of the Year, Assassin's Creed, Celeste, God of War, Marvel, Spider-Man, Monster Hunter World, and Red Dead Redemption 2. That's crazy. But God of War won. We know that now.
Boom, boom, boom.
Boom, boom.
Yeah, I'm happy they did because, like I said before, I was afraid Red Dead was just going to sweep it like The Last of Us did the year that
I think Red Dead beat.
But, I mean, let's be honest. The Last of Us.
Yeah.
I have no qualms with The Last of Us taking Game of the
Year. You're right. But you know what happens? A game like Stanley Parable comes out and does not get the recognition it deserved. Because that is exactly what happened.
Okay. Done? All right, you can move on. Wait, go ahead.
Hold on. We don't have a whole lot of time.
Guys, okay.
We don't have to edit that much. It could be a long episode.
Hello, this is Ray from the Heroes Podcast Network, and I am here to tell you about Screen Heroes. Do you love superheroes? What about superheroes in film and TV? How about weird rankings like top five lists, or maybe three people just arguing about top five lists? Either way, we are the podcast for you. Check us out every Tuesday night live on Twitch, or subscribe to Screen Heroes Podcast on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and Google Play. Now, back to your regularly scheduled podcast.
All right, so now we'll wrap this episode up. We're having a really good time talking about all this stuff. So we'll try to be quick here.
Great year of gaming. Great year of gaming.
It was. It is. There's still so much to play. I'll go through a little lightning round of what I saw from reveals. I'll open with the thing that I care about the most is Hades. Hades is from Supergiant Games. They made Bastion and Transistor and Pyre.
I saw it. I don't know.
Those are the kind of games you probably know immediately if you're going to like it. Honestly, if you're on the fence, I wouldn't even worry about it. But that said, I remember, like, I was
It looks like another Dead Cells. It literally said, you die, it's okay, you revamp, you do it again. They're just kind of doing Dead Cells in a mythological form.
Am I not right? Have you played Bastion? Are you familiar with that game?
I have not played Bastion.
No. That game is Bastion.
Okay.
That game is Bastion, except it seems like the story is when you die, you revert. So instead of it being a linear game with levels that you progress through, I bet that it's a roguelike.
I remember every single time the narrator starts talking in Bastion, it just feels so cool.
Dude, it does. That guy, oh man. He and the Darkest Dungeon narrator, they are in my top five narrators of all time.
It is good. It's like hello, fantasy world, but also, I don't know, Western Tavern, you know?
Yeah. I mean, the idea, the narrator in Bastion, the whole vibe that he's going for is he's retelling the story of what you're playing through as if you're at the campfire together and he's, you know, even as you progress, he's like, and then the boy, you know, he thought blah, blah, blah. You know, he fall off the level
he's
in Bastion.
Just
and it's like,
about
and then
how
he thought,
awesome you are.
Yeah. And it just is such a cool vibe. It so adds to the tone of the game as much as the visuals, as much as the soundtrack, which is saying a lot. I thoroughly enjoyed that. So they took a lot of the art style from Pyre. It's like the narrative stuff that you saw in that trailer with the non-moving pictures. That's straight out of Pyre, which is a game that had an amazing soundtrack, but I didn't like the gameplay in it. It had a lot of visual novel things where you're just like talking to people and making some decisions and stuff. But then you go play like Cosmic Baseball or Basketball, and I did not like that. So I wish I liked the game more, but the soundtrack was phenomenal. Anyway, Hades is this game. It's an isometric game with abilities and stuff. Go check it out. The most remarkable thing about this is that it's out right now. They announced it and said, hey, it's available right now on all systems.
They did that almost throughout all of that award show. things that you could get right now. So, I for example, love that because MTG Arena, my favorite.
They had several commercials, and I'm like, oh, these guys, you'd be proud.
So MTG Arena, I saw that,
and I was like, I see it.
Go type it; it's still available. Game Awards. You get 25 cards, quite a few rares.
Wait, what?
So use
you get what?
I think it's only for new. I think it's only for new players.
No, I did it today.
Good. Tell me, I need to know.
You type in, so there's a code, MDG Arena Game Awards, one word. Type it in your redeem code within the store. You will get 25 cards.
Yep. There you go.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. So they also announced MTG Esports, right? So I will be throwing my name in that hat. I am actually on a very high ranking in MTG right now. So
what is it?
Bronze 1.
Bronze 1?
Hey, Bronze 1 is hard to get to.
I've been on Bronze 4, and I'm like, Jesus Christ, who are the people that played this game?
Yeah, dude, when I played League of Legends, the highest I ever got was Silver something, and I was just like,
I don't know what's after it, but it's to the point now where every play, you need to know all the cards.
Yeah.
And you know all the cards, you know what they have in their deck, and I'm getting to that point, but anyway, I'm good to talk. Off topic, they had a lot of in-game things, such as Fortnite The Block, we saw that, you know, they had Smash Ultimate release that night. It was really cool what they did and how they timed it.
Well, you know why this – my opinion on why we see this change in release schedule is like, hey, doesn't this thing make you exciting? Also, you can buy it right now. It's because No Man Fucking Sky. Dude, it's because – it's we've seen – and it's not just because of them, but it's this idea of teasing a game. Fuck, Prey 2 had a trailer that came out years and years and years ago and then it never happened. And then way later they – made a whole new game that had nothing to do with that original trailer. Like, releasing a trailer is cool, but if you don't have something ready, if you aren't already down the railroad tracks, don't do it, because you leave yourself open for so many things to go wrong. So this idea of, like, Fortnite, hey, here's the block, and it's available right now. Like, it just now, this moment, appeared in the game. That's awesome.
I loved it. I thought that was really cool.
Like, makes me want to play
Fortnite just so I could get my block on the map, you know? So, mm-hmm. You know what the idea of the block is?
No.
It looks like the Cell games.
Everyone that plays Fortnite now has their own personal island they can create and create worlds with Minecraft in Fortnite. But the best that supposedly will be voted on get put on the real map of mm-hmm. Fortnite. So it's called the block. So if you make this really cool map area, you know, some of the areas of the map of Fortnite. I don't know them all. I don't play Fortnite all the time.
They're all alliterations.
Right? So, but you can put your own personal, it will be voted, but your personal creation will be on the real Fortnite map. And they'll probably rotate it, I imagine, but that is awesome.
God, I wish God, I Fortnite liked Fortnite.
Just, they are, I know.
Actually, you
know. I'm sorry. I'm going to play. So my son's like, he's coming of age. My son is like, Dad, you want to play Fortnite? I'm like, God damn it. He's asking the question finally.
Like, that's the question you've always been waiting for. You're like, I knew this day would come.
I knew
it would come. I'm going to have the talk.
So yeah, what they did there at the awards, releasing content as people are watching it, as people are engaged, that's a winner. I'm going to be tuning in every year from now on, just because of that. Like, when they said MTG Arena, I was like, wait, what? They had like 5 commercials, man. I'm telling you, Mike, I know you're a big
MTG fan. I even liked the commercials,
yeah,
dude.
They were great.
Like I said, I didn't even want to get up to pee because I didn't want to miss the commercials. Like, it's kind of like watching
like
the
Super Bowl. It yeah. was of games.
Sorry, you know, the big game.
You know what the best part of Magic the Gathering Arena is? Is that you have, if you want to chat with the person you're playing with, you have like 5 words, five word phrases
oops.
You can say.
Hello.
Yeah, oops. Hello. Good game. I don't remember the
sorry.
Rest of his
name.
It doesn't even, they don't even have thank you. They don't have thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah.
Like,
I feel so awkward when people say something like,
it's
oh, they
your
say
turn.
Nice.
No, it's
when they
your
say,
turn.
Nice. I'm like, how do I respond?
No, everyone like, says your turn because I'm looking there looking at my, your turn. Like, I just got my
oh,
turn.
Oh, I've never gotten a your turn.
You what? No that. One just says
yeah.
your turn.
No, I haven't gotten a your turn, and I am real bad about, like, not realizing it's my turn until, like, the bomb fuse is, like, and I'm like, oh, God.
I still have to get the timeout sometime, but go ahead. What other premieres did you have?
Yeah, we're doing really bad with
that. Yeah, you're right. Dead by Daylight had a ton of commercials, and I'm not familiar with that game, but it seems like it has just a ton of mashups of very famous spooky villains. Friday the 13th,
Dead by Daylight.
It almost looks like Telltale spooky, where it has like IP. No, not like a narrative sense, but where it takes an IP and brings it into the fold. Where you know, Friday the 13th, it has Nightmare on Elm Street. It has Saw. It has
So the expansion that they discussed at the Game Awards was something about, you know, they run into a barn and his partner kills him. It's something about, you know, something about your partner could turn on you. The idea is that's the right one, right? Yeah, where he had the mask on.
Yeah.
He stabs him in the barn, right? Yeah. Well, Dead by Daylight.
It's a real like spooky cliche where it's horror. Like, oh, you look at them both go in and the camera turns
all
right.
The expansions are plays on horror movies. So like you have your typical Hope Lake or what's the lake in Crystal Lake.
Camp Hope.
Camp
Hope. Yeah. Well,
Hope.
I think you're right. It is Crystal Lake.
It is Crystal Lake.
Maybe it's both.
Yeah, I think it's Camp Hope from Crystal Lake. But that's Friday the 13th, and you play as Jason, and then you have five survivors. But they have Freddy. They have.
So do they own? Does Dead by Daylight own
the rights
to do that?
The
Friday the 13th game? Friday the 13th?
Oh, no, they don't. Friday the 13th hasn't been shut down. I think it's done.
What?
Yeah, Dead by Daylight surpassed Friday the 13th. I believe Friday the 13th is no more. Someone could correct me. But
I'm going to have to look. I will absolutely say, because I won't argue with you because I'm too ignorant to fight. But I was definitely confused on what the game actually was, which
so
bothered
Friday
me because I'm like, I want you to tell me what this game
so
is.
So Friday the 13th was a more in-depth version of the whole movie Jason versus Camp Counselors. Like, there was a lot more in-depth.
It sounds like the Camp Counselors were fighting back, but they weren't.
Right.
They do. You do in the game. You have to do a Jesus.
Well, in the game, but in the movie, it was like, what are they doing?
Guess I'll die.
Dying.
So Dead by Daylight, same type of concept, but different maps, different movie situations, different killers, right? I thought it was really cool.
Well, hey, let's move forward. CRT, Crash Racing. Oh, geez, I'm messing it up. CTR,
yeah.
CRT.
Crash Racing was amazing when I was a
Crash
kid.
Crash Test Racing.
Prime time as a sixth grader, we used to play Crash Racing all the time. It was a staple game in competition.
We'll see how it turns out, but I like that there is room in this world for those nostalgia games because I've heard several people this year say, man, I wish they'd make a new CTR game.
I wish they'd make a new Snowbow Kids, man. Snowboard
what
Kids.
What the hell is that? This is the first time I've ever heard those words. Snowbow Kids?
What?
Okay, we'll talk about it later. Lightning round.
No
lightning
idea what
round.
Snowball Kids is.
Hold on. Lightning round.
All right, keep going.
It sounds like you fucked up.
No, I didn't. 64.
It was not a world premiere, but Anthem did have a new trailer that looked pretty cool.
I still don't get the game.
I have here in my notes, I remember the God of War voice actors of God and of his son War. Sorry, his names. But the two boys. He is a behemoth. Well, he's not even a behemoth of man, but he, like, his voice is so.
It's just like.
He is masculinity.
Arthur.
In a picture.
Okay, so it's Octodad.
That's funny. It was him and the boy who plays the voice of boy. And they made a joke where, you know, like, and the winner is. Read it, and boy.
And the winner is. And it was like a 1 minute silence. Everyone's looking around. Then the laughing started. And it was like, read it, boy.
that wasn't bad. It was like, nah, I like this. Like, I like this is a thing that people get, that like a joke that he can make that is well received. So I like that. Let's see. Lots of colorful. I just loved Outer Worlds and Far Cry 5. I loved how colorful they were.
I do too.
I love these developers making bright games.
I think I'm gonna
I don't need
choice,
any more
though.
Drab, gray, brown games.
If
don't
I'm clearly
them.
Looking just for a shooter, I'll go New Dawn. But
yeah,
if
we,
I want
we,
that.
We've
in...
had years of depressing. Let's move on. Let's move on.
Yeah.
I think apocalypse, battle royales, post-apocalyptic games, battle royale games, card games. These games
are
coming.
Part of the reason I think Fortnite has been so successful, it's a battle royale, but PUBG did it first. They just made it better because they made it bright and shiny. Mm-hmm. They made it accessible, and that is why that game succeeded. They supported it.
I'm still waiting for like a graphically great game that's in like a fucking rainforest or something.
Ori and the Blind Forest.
Yeah. Wait, what?
Ori and the Blind Forest.
I know, go home tonight
and buy Ori and the Blind Forest.
Ori and the Blind Forest?
You've never heard
no,
of this?
Uh-uh.
Okay.
No.
Okay. We're going to move forward because you're going to watch the trailer because it is exactly what you just asked for.
No.
Yes, it is.
He's talking about a first person in the rainforest type game, not Ori. I know what Ori
Dude,
is.
Dude, Ori was up for like best art direction.
It was a beautiful game. It's a side scroller.
It's like a platformer, but it is hard AF.
Yeah.
It's not gentle, but it's beautiful.
Wait, Ori is not side scroll. Yeah, Ori is, yeah, right? Yeah, it is. Make sure I remember the same game. But yeah, I know what you're asking for. All right, let's keep
moving. I'll show you the thing. You need to buy that game. Hades was great. I have here written down Hello Games, who made No Man's Sky.
Yeah.
The hit game of whatever year.
The hit game, which year?
2017? Yeah, it finally. Mm-hmm. It was funny that they were on the list for
anything.
Most
at all.
Well, hold on. They were ongoing.
For anything.
So they were on for ongoing game. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Somehow the. In the new updates, we all know the major updates that happened with No Man's Sky.
Yeah, it's like,
let's
give
them
credit for barely getting close to what they were supposed to be in the first place.
Where they get their nominees is because somehow No Man's Sky made it into a nominee. When I'm like, there are a million other ongoing games that are way more popular than No Man's Sky. But, you know.
Whatever.
We'll see.
Yeah.
Sure. Keep trying to make No Man's Sky happen.
So, actually, I have here written. So, Hello Games is making... The Last Campfire. And so it's a really, like, not a de-resed, but like a low, a low polygon count? I don't know how to describe it. A very artistic game that uses a lot of lighting and colors to do its thing. I have no idea how the game's going to be. Who knows? Hello Games only made one game before this. But it's visually appealing, and I think that's cool. Further down on my list, I have another one. They showed trailers for several, like, beautiful, that kind of style of indie game. In a row. It was called The Pathless by the Abzu developer. Abzu is the diving game, also beautiful and colorful. There's no like crazy action. It describes itself as experiencing the dream of diving or something. And that's cool, like for somebody like me, because I don't know if I differ. I hate deep water. So for me, that's the game where I'm like, this is actually relaxing stuff. I have written here that it actually looked like. It looks like a cross between Journey and Ori and the Blind Forest.
Hold on, Thomas. Why do you hate deep water?
Dude, I can see the bucket sea down in it. I lived next to a lake when I grew up, and I always had a fear that if I went swimming, a snapping turtle would grab me by the toe and drag me under.
You know what? I used to have that fear, but Atlas, I'm sorry, another game. Atlas. Are you guys not?
Oh, yeah. Atlas was a good looking one.
It was. No one's talking about this game. I'm surprised on the social media. Channels I follow.
On the social medias.
But I think this game looks amazing. It's a deep MMO world. Pirates. Calling it an MMO. That's a lot of games are MMOs. Kind of like the RPG term. What's an MMORPG? What's an MMO, right?
Yeah.
But this is an MMO. You're taking on a hero who's with a million other heroes. Well, actually 40,000. But anyway, that's the idea here, is that Atlas will be a ship sailing... creature fighting, dragon fighting, medieval
game.
Oh, I like
that. They had some like realistic stuff.
And there's like, look at these 40,000.
And then like hydras and like mythological stuff.
It's amazing. Like you fight this three-headed hydra. Well, we don't know what you do, but in the cinematic they showed, there's this three-headed hydra that's massive. And you're fighting it with dual pistols. And I'm like, this is not right. But
this did not follow the history books.
The ship boats, you're seeing the ship battles happen. And there's like 3 to 5 ships on the screen. And then a dragon comes. And I'm like, this is it. This is the game to save us all. That's my personal opinion. I love that type of style of game.
That's one that I have to hold my breath because we know how these things go. But I really hope it does well because...
It's made by Grapeshot and Instinct Games.
A game like that gives you everything fantasy almost starts turning into like Star Citizen.
Or it's like biting off more than you can chew. Pay to win. Like you can have it all, but we're going to make you buy it
And then when you finally start to slowly figure it out, you have to have a computer with like... 48,000 gigs of RAM.
Before we move on to the next one, I got to read you the synopsis. Atlas, the ultimate survival. So keep that in mind. One of these again. MMO, an unprecedented scale with 40,000 plus simultaneous players in the same world/server. Join the endless adventure of piracy and sailing, exploration, combat.
The creators of Ark. They are the ones who created Ark.
That's right. No, I did know that. I'm sorry. You are right.
Because I remember specifically them saying 40,000 because they were like, Ark was big, and this is so much bigger.
They talked about it as like 12 times that world. But anyway, settlement, civilization building, one of the largest game worlds ever. They talked about it being 12 times the size of Ark, right? So, I didn't play Ark. Looked really cool. I don't like riding dinosaurs, though. So, it looks great.
But you don't like riding dinosaurs?
But you like all the things you just said you like.
Yeah, I don't ride dinosaurs.
Whatever. At least they made the game for you.
I like shooting hydras with pistols. Riding a dinosaur, no thanks.
That's just weird.
Littlefoot and me don't mix, so we don't do that anymore. No, let's keep moving.
You're a Bigfoot kind of guy. Maybe they'll add Bigfoot to Atlas. I think besides the last one left is Mortal Kombat 11.
Yeah.
That was a surprise release, and it's interesting to see that released at some point.
Let me say this. I told Thomas about this, and everyone who's listening, they made a mistake. Is it a mistake or did they do it on purpose? I do not know. I have to go read into it. But
I'm sure it was a
mistake. They announced the best sports/racing game, and all of a sudden, world premiere.
So they were in the middle of announcing something, and someone accidentally hit the play
button
and launched the trailer
live. And the guy comes back. Well, now the best sporting games and racing games.
Back to your regularly scheduled.
They announced one of the most ballingest world premieres ever as a mistake.
Oops. Yeah.
Like Mortal Kombat 11 looks disgustingly awesome and graphically gory the way you always expect.
Lizzie's exact words were, do you think it has enough blood?
But they announced it in between another announcement, so it was a mistake, I believe.
Oh, yeah, for sure had to be a mistake.
I thought maybe intentionally kind of like throw people off for fun, because, you know, they're quirky, they're weird.
For fun or for, like, publicity?
Yeah, I don't know. But
honestly, with how jam-packed all that stuff is anyway, it's not like you have to move something to get it, to get more attention.
Let's close it up.
Go ahead, you have something to say?
All right, hold on.
Let's wrap this up, finally. I love talking about this. I really do love the Game Awards. I've been watching them for years, and every year they get better. Like, they always have hiccups. They're unique from TV shows and movies for a lot of reasons that we've outlined. But I love that you get to see the people behind the curtain. You get to really see the faces behind these things that you love. And in movies, you've got actors to look at, same with TV shows, and even with directors who are behind the camera, you know, you figure out who they are. In video gaming, you don't see, it's like podcasting. You don't know what anybody looks like. You don't know who anybody is. You maybe recognize their name, but, to see these people up on stage, like, I had never seen Lena Raine before, the artist, the composer for Celeste. I had no idea what she looked like or anything. Not only did she read an award, and she was on stage several times, but she played with the orchestra. And the orchestra, they had several different performances. They were great.
They were amazing. The second performance, whoever that lead singer was.
Rhiannon Giddens?
No, it wasn't her. I know who she is, and I know what she was playing. But the lead singer, whatever instrument that is, who's ever listening, I don't know how you understand this, but as her voice was changing, she was moving her fingers up and down a board, a digital board, let me say this, and it would, I don't know how to express it, be ominous, and sounds would come up behind it. You can't repeat this. Unless that was just for show, I want to know what that device
was. No, those aren't
was.
For show. No, that's
device is that's ridiculous.
You should look that up. That's how a lot of solo electronic artists.
That was the beginning of electronic music, was just having
this one was a lot different. No, and like, I love techno. Yeah. I love EDM. I do. I really do.
But it's a pad, which is a bunch
but
of
this was
a grid, right?
This is probably just more advanced, most expensive version of that, because as she moved her fingers, this is a flat board. And she would just sing and move her hands up and down a flat board, and you could see the lights light up.
Oh, man.
It wasn't a synthesizer.
I am going to have
to
watch
this. You'll have to watch
it.
Yeah. Second what show. So, Game Awards Orchestra, that's all you need to look up. Look
honestly,
up
even though
this
you already know
awesome.
All this stuff, it's seriously still worth it to go watch
it
the
is.
Actual
so,
awards.
So let me say this. I did not watch it live. I was out of town when it was live. I came back and watched it on YouTube 3 days later. It was still good. I was surprised how drawn into it I was. And it's worth it. Go watch it. There's so much stuff. Yeah. It's great to see.
I love looking at the Game Awards as a thermometer for how the year has been in games.
I want to close up with a comment, too. I think that today, as a gaming participant, connoisseur, whatever you want to give the title, it's really cool to see how this is transcending entertainment. Like, mm-hmm. you guys don't understand, like, we just saw Red Dead Redemption be the break. What was it? Avengers? Or, I'm sorry.
It blew everyone out of the water. It's the second highest grossing game of all time behind their last game, behind GTA V.
Well, no, but it beat another entertainment option, and I think it was Avengers. But anyway,
it's not an entertainment release. It has blown everything out of the water.
We have to take in perspective that the number one entertainment option is not movies. It's not shows. It's video games. Keep that in mind.
Yeah, well, and part of it is because, like,
that's just one game.
Yeah. With TV shows and movies, part of it is that part of the reason you like the TV shows and the movies is because you can find something that relates to you in the TV show or movie that makes it interesting or whatever. Mm-hmm. And there is something to be said about TV shows and movies being made for you, but games are really made for you.
Like, a scary movie will play even if you close your eyes. Mm-hmm, a scary game. You have to walk through that spooky doorway. Steps. Yeah,
you have to take yourself through.
So what I'm trying to say is, we are witnessing something. I cannot wait till next year, and I cannot wait to see what happens. But keep this in mind, listeners. We are transcending entertainment. Things are going to change. Like I hope the VR doesn't come in too much. I mean, I'm saying. So I love VR.
Well, I hope it catches up. Honestly,
catch up. That's maybe it. That's
actually going slow.
But let's move on with choose your own adventure stories. Like, let's make those movies. Let's make it to where I can.
In a theater where the masses choose where the antagonists or protagonists do in a movie? Yeah. Like, you vote and they've already decided. Like, how cool would that be? You're in a theater with 30 people and it comes up to the point where
you don't even have to do that because you'd put on VR.
Yeah. And then everyone would be in their own movie.
Yeah.
That would be crazy.
Yeah, right. So, or you can watch Netflix in VR and be sitting in a fake theater with other people. Yeah. So you could do that and you would still feel
things are changing.
Yeah, there's
guys,
so much.
Guys, we need to close this podcast and start our own virtual reality like company.
All this stuff is fantastic. I will circle back and say my favorite thing about the Game Awards is that everything is put together by Jeff Keighley. Everything is – it's a mountain that
someone's got a crush.
Built. It's a building that he built. And,
it's a man crush.
Well, it absolutely is. I tell you, he's such a proponent of gaming accessibility. And they had a nice piece in there about Able Gamers, which is a great organization he works with that you should go watch in the Game Awards. But we need more people like him who are willing to put in that legwork, not only to just work hard, but to bring people together. Like the fact that all those figureheads were on stage together, the fact that there's – a category called Gaming for Impact. The fact that that they talk about community so much during this, and I love all of it. I just love how it brings people together, and gaming needs more people like Jeff Keighley, for better or for worse, who are out looking to make gaming, to make the world a better place through gaming. And so I think it's the best it's ever been. And I think that every day there are more Jeff Keighleys in the world. And I absolutely love that. So I look forward to next year.
I'm looking forward to next year. Maybe Mike will catch up and watch this year as well.
Yeah, maybe. We'll see. I'll find out next year.
All right. Well, thanks for sticking around with us, everybody. I know this is a long episode, but boy, we sure had fun.
Yes.
All right. Yes. Catch us next week on episode 74. All right. Everyone, have a good evening.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.